Today on Real Radio.
God does not judge and determine things based upon outward appearance. Do you hear his invitation? It's now open to all of us to be used by God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 16 where David, who would eventually, of course, become King David, is sought out by Samuel himself following God's instructions. This is all because the Almighty God quickly took a dim view, if you will, of King Saul because of his disobedience. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in this mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's called When God Comes Upon a Man.
When the Spirit of God comes upon a man, and ladies, do you understand I'm talking about mankind? See, me, he's just talking to men. This is for all of us. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, it is to accomplish his will. It's just not to give us a goosebump. Oh, what is that? It doesn't do nothing. The Spirit of God is to come upon us because God's got something for us to do concerning his will. If someone's going to sit around and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, baptize me with your Spirit. Oh, God, I want more of your Spirit in my life. And you don't intend to do anything for him, I guarantee you, he's not going to move in your life. It's kind of like you give bullets to the guys that are going to go out into the front lines and go to war. You don't give bullets to the people who are practicing back at the camp. They'll get hurt. If in your heart you're going to say, you know what, I want to serve the Lord. The Lord says, all right, let's put bullets, as it were. Let's put gas in his tank. And that powers the Holy Spirit. To do what? To accomplish the will of God. Verse 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, as he comes now to Jesse's home, and all of his sons are there, David's brothers, and David is out in the field. God says, do not look at his appearance. Or for that matter, the appearance of all of the beautiful, strong, healthy sons that Jesse had. Don't look at his appearance. See, we equate appearance with strength or weakness. Don't look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. That's one of Jesse's sons, not Saul. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so it's based upon God's will being done. And it is this: his will is not biased by earthly powers. Not at all. Human judgment is flawed. Here's Samuel, the prophet of God, and he's making a mistake. He sees Jesse's son come in front, parade in front of Samuel. Samuel looks at this strapping, strong, good-looking guy, Jesse's son. Samuel says, well, to himself, this is truly, surely the man whom God has selected. And God says, no, I'm not all wigged out, you know, Samuel, like you are with how tall he is. You know, he may be taller than you, Samuel, but he's not as tall as me. And I've not picked him. So God says, Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. God's interested in the heart. Now, this is exciting. Because all of a sudden now, we're encouraged that every one of us in this sanctuary is now hearing encouraging words about being qualified to be used by God. What is the qualifications? Frankly, me, you, God, what do you want to do? And someone might say, well, you're not tall enough. And you're not short enough. You're not thin enough and you're not wide enough. Man's got his wisdom. Man's got his critique. And God doesn't do things like that. He doesn't experience any kind of a sway about earthly things. But God looks upon the heart. In verses 8 to 13, and I'm trying to scurry down to verse 13. When God comes upon a man, it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture teaches us here that the Spirit of God was to come upon David. David was in the field. All of the sons of Jesse now have paraded by. And little David, the youngest boy, he's out in the field. And so God speaks as the boys pass by. Samuel's thinking, well, surely this is the guy. And the Lord says, no. Next guy comes by, God says, no again. So then Jesse hears Samuel ask this question. Jesse, don't you have any more boys? You got to have more boys. Well, yeah, I've got one more boy, but he's just a kid. And he's out on the field tending sheep. And he's nothing. And so Samuel now says, nobody sits down, nobody does anything. Just stand here, go get him. This is going to be the man. And so God's going to move. And so it says in verse 12 that he went and brought him in. Now David was ruddy or red. And we mentioned this last time together, red hair or red of face. I think he was red of face, by the way. And bright of eyes, handsome boy. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Now listen carefully, everybody. Here's what we need to hear tonight. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. By the way, that's also in a psalm in promise to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel arose and he went back home. I want you to take your highlighter and mark that. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God was moving in his life. And God is about now to make him, and I want to stress the word make, make David a great leader. It's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take a lot of pain. You're going to read through these books in Samuel and Chronicles and all, you're going to hear horrible, difficult, painful experiences. God makes leaders. They're not born. They're created and they're made by experience. And you're never going to know about a leader until difficulty comes. When there's a test and a trial, then you're going to see who's a leader. God puts people in power. And he makes them leaders. God wants to work in our lives and make us leaders. Every one of us. There's an influence that the Holy Spirit has for you to be involved in this world. And some of you are saying, and listen, boy, I want to just lovingly get you right between the eyes tonight. You may be thinking, not me, not me. Surely you mean that for the people around me, but not me. You're exactly the one I'm talking to. The little David's out in the field tending the sheep that everybody would pass by. God does not judge and determine things based upon outward appearance. Do you hear his invitation? It's now open to all of us to be used by God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine. Why? Because you turn stupid. If you drink enough, I can get anything out of you. Did you know that? By the way, I was on a court case, had a chance to be jury foreman for a murder. And the murderer was drunk. And the man was convicted and went to prison. But here's the deal. The prosecution brought in a expert on, he was a medical doctor and he worked specifically in the area of forensics for autopsies and all kinds of various things regarding the influence of drug and alcohol related materials as well in a person's body. And when they set that guy down on the stand, prosecution asked this, what is the first sign of a person coming under the influence of a foreign substance? And I was shocked as a Christian. I was shocked what that guy said. You know, I was expecting him to say, well, the guy's going to weave back and forth or fall off the line. Or, you know what the guy said? He said, It is a loosening. It is a releasing. It is a vacation of moral judgment. And that's what my mom, boy, is that something. Because he said, as you become possessed by the alcohol or drugs, the first thing is that you relinquish your moral standard. Girls who would otherwise never get loose under alcohol get loose. Guys who are timid and quiet would never take that car and drive it off the edge of that thing or whatever they do unless they're under the influence to destruction. Paul in Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because wine will possess you. That's a fact. But, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Interesting. And of course, the word in the Greek means be filled over and over again. Listen, you are to be asking God, according to the Bible, to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. We're to do it every day. The Greek construction of the words are that very thing. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit again. I asked God to fill me with his Spirit this morning before I got out of bed, and then I asked him to fill me again this evening before I walked up here. Well, how many times can you get filled? As often as you ask. I want to keep the level of the Spirit of God up in my life. Fill me up. You ever notice when your tank runs out of gas or gets close to it, not runs out, but gets close, you get a little nervous, don't you? Can't go very far. You're always looking at, oh man, I got to get to a gas station, but I just got to swing by this store right here. You're pushing it. A lot of Christians run like that. Oh man, you know, I'm just going to do this thing. Well, I'm getting kind of low. Haven't heard the word of God lately. Haven't been praying, asking God to fill me. Haven't been fellowshipping with God's people. You're running on all external power. Tank gets down low, running on fumes, getting weak, getting tired. Don't do that. Ask him to fill you up over and over again. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The promise of the Father was the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with, not by, baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Some of you need to write that down because you don't know that there's a difference. There is a difference. You can be baptized by the Holy Spirit or you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. The baptism with the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus and the Father himself. Interesting. The baptism by the Spirit, are you guys listening? The baptism by the Spirit is into the body of Jesus Christ. It's called salvation. It's done once. The construction is found in 1 Corinthians. The Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ and you become a member of the global or universal or worldwide church, the body of Christ. That's the baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is something different. It's for power. It's for service. It's for living your Christian life in victory. If you want victory, you have to have the Holy Spirit upon you in this life. Now, back in the Old Testament times, remember King David cried out in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Did you know that's perfect Old Testament doctrine? But quite frankly, we should never say that in New Testament time. Did you know it's doctrinally wrong? Did you know God will never take his Holy Spirit from you? Never take his Holy Spirit from you. But the Bible teaches us that all the time the Holy Spirit can come upon us. I think what we're going to do next week is we're going to get into this more. We're going to hover at verse 13 for a while because this is too important. What is the difference of the Holy Spirit in you versus the Holy Spirit alongside you versus what we're hearing here in David's life and what is to be a constant experience in the New Testament believer's life, the Holy Spirit, not alongside, not inside, that's already settled. We're Christians. Upon us for growth, power, and service. Wisdom, my goodness, with the Spirit coming upon you, wisdom, discernment, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit of God. I'm curious, how many of you in here, you know you're born again and you're going to heaven. You've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're trusting in Him to take you to heaven. Look at these. Keep your hand up. Everybody look around. Look. Take a peek. Look at these hands. Put your hand down. Do you realize something? Every one of you, I love it. Every one of you who just raised your hand, according to the Bible, you and I have at least one gift given by the Holy Spirit. At least one. I'm not quite sure, I can't nail those down yet, but I've seen in my life, I have seen five of the gifts used in my life. And you might say, whoa. No, wait a minute. Here's what I have found out. It's not that I'm going to give Jack five of those things. Woo. No, it's not that. You know what? I have found this. The more you venture out for the Lord to exalt Him, And to just be used, I don't know, let's try. Let's see if God's in this. And you step out, wow, you find out that the gifts of the Spirit are working. It's amazing. Words of knowledge, wisdom. Amazing. Teaching. Faith. Now, I don't consider myself having the gift of healing, but I've prayed for people and they've been healed at the spot. You say, whoa, that would be awesome. I got new. You want to start praying for people who are sick? Get up and do it. See what happens.
Well, what if nothing happens?
At least you got up and tried it. What do you do? Sit there all day for the rest of your life? Get up and try. How are you going to know? See, we want the power. I got the power. I got the Spirit of God in me. Well, what are you going to do with it? He's not going to give you the power if you're just going to sit on it. You got to go. You got to do. Step out and see. I told you before, it's a picture I'll never forget. It must have been a year or two ago now where I was at a stoplight in Chino Hills and this tremendous big Porsche pulls up. And the guy's, you know, vroom. It's just, wow. And the guy on the back of that Porsche, this guy's got this wing that comes right out of the back end of the car. You couldn't even see it until he revs up the engine, and the wing comes out of the back of the car. And that guy is the biggest wing on the back of a Porsche I've ever seen. But you know what? Unless you're going over 180 miles an hour, it doesn't work. You can just go, whoom, whoom, look at my wing. Look at it. I got the biggest wing in the city. Look at this wing. And it's like, big deal. What's the deal? You're sitting at a stoplight. Take this baby up to 180 and then we'll talk about it. What good is it? Oh, man, I got the Spirit of God. Well, wait, let's see your love. Let's see your mercy. Let's see the gifts of the Spirit. It's true. The filling or baptism of the Holy Spirit is very different than being saved and brought into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is an empowerment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 12 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of the members of the body of Christ for the profit of everyone." Isn't that great? Did you see all of you raising your hands? Did you know every one of you has at least one gift? And I need you to start using your gift because it blesses me and everybody else around you. That ought to excite you. The gift is given by the Spirit of God for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing, healings, plural actually, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Wow, what if some of you in here who raised your hand, you've got the gift of the working of miracles? You know, God gives this gift. Do you have it? You know, it'd be sad. I'm not going to ask because I'm afraid of the answer. But is anybody in here? Don't raise your hand if you do and don't respond. But, you know, if I were to ask, does anybody in here have the gift of the Holy Spirit and the working of miracles? I would be freaking out if nobody raised their hand. I think I'd want to run out of here.
pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When God Comes Upon a Man. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is sought out by Samuel to be anointed as king. We'll continue more of this amazing verse-by-verse account through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been keeping your ear to the ground, so to speak, on what's happening in the world these days, you're probably wondering if it all correlates with the last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. Well, that's exactly why Pastor Jack has delivered a message called What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? We're now offering it on DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Now, when we say offering, that's exactly what we mean. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Again, the title of Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Call, click, or write to send your tax-deductible contribution. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for the 2-DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On? And What Can You Do About It? All right, welcome to Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. It's turned out to be a pretty popular segment. We're really glad you're writing into us. Send your question to AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. AskPastorJack at RealRadioActive.org. All right, today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit. Here's the question. Dear Pastor Jack, regarding the parable of the 10 virgins, and we're talking about Matthew 25 here, is that proof that one can lose his salvation?
Absolutely not. No, we talked about this here. The parable of the 10 virgins is not an issue of 10 being saved and 5 losing their salvation. We talked about it that night. The 10 virgins in the parable are people who profess to know God. The 5 that were waiting and ready, remember, they trimmed their lamps and they heard the call, the master's coming. They trimmed their lamps, they had the oil, and they went into the celebrations, but the others didn't. Remember, we talked about how the difference was that the Christian, the real Christian, is going to be ready. The real Christian, in fact, let's stretch it out a little bit. A real Christian is going to be ready. They're going to be watching for the imminent coming. They are careful. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a typological picture regarding this thing of oil. They are going to be in the Word. They're going to be walking with Jesus. They are very serious about their walk. They, as the time approaches, they don't give up, even though it gets harder near the end. They don't give up. The other ones, they were religious. They said they knew the Lord. They were in a religious setting. But when time came, they were not ready. They were slothful. And on top of it, they didn't finish. They didn't continue. So the question some have asked is, well, does that mean they lost their salvation? No, it means they never had it. They were very, listen, there's people that come to church every week. They're not Christians. They may come for traditional reasons. They may become for moral reasons. They may be coming for conscience sake. They feel better being here, but they're not born again. This has been true for every gathering since the birth of the church. So what you want to do is make sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with Jesus, and that you're very vigilant about your Christianity. Think about it.
All right, that's Pastor Jack on the parable of the 10 virgins. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack at realradioactive.org. You might hear the answer from the pulpit. You might hear it when we get Pastor Jack into the studio. Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.